A sex tape scandal? A billion-dollar empire? A reality TV phenomenon that changed entertainment forever. For 2 decades, we thought we knew Paris Hilton, the ditzy heiress who made "that's hot" a cultural catchphrase and turned partying into a profession. But what if everything we believed was carefully constructed armor protecting a devastating secret? When Paris the Memoir hit shelves, even the New York Times was stunned, calling it the most surprising and affecting celebrity memoir in years. The book reveals a truth hiding in plain sight. The woman we dismissed as frivolous was actually a survivor, using fame as a shield, building an empire while battling demons that would have destroyed most people. Understanding Paris requires understanding the weight of being a Hilton. Her great-grandfather Conrad built a global empire on old-school Christian values, starting with a single Texas hotel and expanding into the world's first international hotel chain. Family gatherings at the Brooklawn Mansion featured politicians, celebrities, and business titans. Her mother, Kathy, drilled proper etiquette, perfect posture, graceful small talk, carrying the family name with dignity. The privilege was extraordinary, but so were the expectations and suffocating scrutiny. Her journey from trauma victim to advocate represents one of the most compelling redemption stories of our time. Paris describes her mind as a Ferrari with bicycle brakes. Powerful, fast, and dangerously difficult to control. This isn't metaphor. It's her lived reality with ADHD, a neurological difference shaping everything from business instincts to legendary phone-losing habits. Her brain craves constant stimulation, jumping between thoughts like idea ping pong and thriving in chaos. Dr. Edward Hallowell, who diagnosed her, explained, "If stimulation doesn't occur, we create it." Her greatest challenge would always be boredom, explaining why she's built 19 lifestyle brands, learned to DJ at world-class clubs, and maintains energy that would exhaust 10 ordinary people. At 12, Pia Zadora took her to a New Kids on the Block after-party at Studio 54. The sensory explosion gave her ADHD brain exactly what it craved. By 16, armed with fake IDs and a modeling career, she'd immersed herself in New York's nightlife. Legendary drag queens became her surrogate family, teaching practical wisdom. Always carry water, wear comfortable shoes under long dresses, and command attention while maintaining mystique. She pioneered being paid simply to attend events, sometimes earning up to $1 million per appearance. "I didn't invent getting paid to party," she acknowledges, "but I reinvented it as the OG influencer." What looked like scattered frivolity was actually a survival strategy, and in the digital age, her disability became a superpower. At 16, Paris was forcibly removed from her bedroom by strangers while her parents watched. The start of her journey through the troubled teen industry, a $50 billion business exploiting parental fears. Founded in 1964, when furniture salesman Mel Wasserman rebranded cult tactics as emotional growth programming, CEDU schools attracted celebrity clients like Michael Douglas and Barbara Walters, lending legitimacy that masked systematic abuse. Paris endured 3 facilities. At CEDU, strip searches preceded raps, hours-long sessions where students were surrounded and verbally attacked until they broke. After escape attempts, she was transferred to Ascent, where staff routinely slapped, punched, and choked students. The worst came at Provo Canyon School, where she became number 127. She was force-fed medications that left her foggy. Minor infractions meant solitary confinement in OBS, a freezing concrete cell with only a bucket. Most devastating were sexual assaults disguised as medical exams. For years, Paris maintained a cover story about being homeschooled in London. The trauma manifested in severe insomnia, nightmares, and inability to trust. She self-medicated with alcohol and avoided medical care. The institutions that abused her continued thriving despite thousands of allegations and documented deaths. At 21, Paris was coerced by an older boyfriend into making a private recording. She had to drink heavily and take Quaaludes due to her trauma. When it surfaced in 2003, media falsely claimed she released it for publicity. "If I had chosen to release a sex tape," she notes, "I would have made sure there was good lighting and camera angles." Her devastated family struggled. Her mother stayed in bed. Her father frantically called lawyers. Her brothers could barely look at her. Despite this, The Simple Life premiered to 13 million viewers. Paris reclaimed control through a brilliant Saturday Night Live sketch with Jimmy Fallon, filled with hotel-related double entendres. The violations continued. South Park depicted her dog being killed, her storage contents were published online, and her sidekick was hacked in 2005, reflecting broader cultural misogyny targeting young female celebrities. When Sarah Silverman brutally mocked her at the MTV Awards before her jail sentence, the audience cheered, many who regularly partied at her house. Years later, Silverman offered a heartfelt podcast apology, acknowledging that comedy is not evergreen and that she'd grown. This gesture moved Paris to tears, demonstrating that healing was possible and cultural attitudes could evolve. While scandals dominated headlines, Paris built a billion-dollar business empire. She recognized her value as an amplifier for brands, commanding $250,000 plus for club appearances. Her genius move? Creating fictional manager Natalie Porter, a tough-talking alter ego who handled negotiations, preserving Paris's friendly image while avoiding 15-20% management fees. Her fragrance empire became the cornerstone. Launching with Paris Hilton for Women in 2004, the line expanded to 25-plus scents, generating nearly $3 billion. By 2017, she'd diversified into 19 lifestyle brands, clothing, accessories, and hotels, honoring her great-grandfather's legacy. Paris championed cryptocurrency and NFT investing, pioneering social media monetization before influencer marketing existed. Her music venture, Stars Are Blind, reached number 18 on Billboard's Hot 100, later featured an Oscar-winning Promising Young Woman. Most impressive was her DJ reinvention. After witnessing Swedish House Mafia at Ibiza's Amnesia, Paris invested hundreds of hours mastering equipment, earning a five-year residency commanding up to $1 million per show, becoming one of the highest-paid female DJs globally. The turning point came when Paris discovered Provo Canyon School still operated. Guilt consumed her. She'd stayed silent while the institution continued harming teenagers. Through online forums, she found a vast survivor network struggling with PTSD, addiction, and suicide attempts. Working with filmmaker Alexandria Dean, Paris finally broke her silence during an all-night confession in Seoul. The resulting film, This Is Paris, culminated in her returning to Provo with fellow survivors. Most challenging was confronting her mother about those boarding school years, a conversation decades in the making that evolved from skepticism to devastating grief. Released in September 2020, This Is Paris garnered 16 million views in its first month, transforming Paris from pop culture icon into advocate. She began testifying before Congress about the troubled teen industry's systemic problems. The symbolic pinnacle came when Paris visited a replica of her isolation cell, experiencing profound realization. The fear that once controlled her had transformed into strength, creating tangible impact. Paris met entrepreneur Carter Riem at a Thanksgiving 2019 dinner in the Hamptons, kissing him against a tennis court fence that first night. Unlike previous relationships, she shared her traumatic past and upcoming documentary with radical honesty. COVID-19 isolation deepened their bond as Carter proved himself a true partner, supporting her ambitions while challenging her growth. He proposed on her 40th birthday, leading to their 11/11 wedding, a three-day celebration captured in Paris in Love. Motherhood came through nearly 2 years of grueling IVF treatments, made harder watching her sister Nikki and sister-in-law Tessa achieve the pregnancies she desperately wanted. She became an advocate for women's reproductive choices. The memoir concludes with their son Phoenix's arrival, named for rising from trauma's ashes. Paris examines how her power was taken and reclaimed, rejecting narratives that reframe trauma as positive. She insists terrible things are terrible, and true strength comes from within. In a culture dismissing glamorous yet substantial women, Paris proved survival can look like sequins and success, building empires while battling demons, advocacy in designer heels. She's not just a survivor, but an architect of meaningful legacy, proving the most powerful rebellion is refusing to disappear.